anything but us. But we have to give ourselves to him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that is ours to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask, O Lord, that you would take full control. May your Holy Spirit reign supreme as we learn from the truths that are found in your word. Speak to us. Speak through us. Words that will uplift the bowed down head. Words that will inspire our hearts to higher heights in spirituality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Carter G. Woodson wrote an article that is incumbent upon us as African Americans. Then he used the term Negro. To repeat and to make known the achievements and accomplishments of our race as African descendants. And as a result of his efforts, we now celebrate Black History Month. Started off with a day or a week. Now we're for a whole month. The title of our message today is Sleeping Through a Storm. Sleeping through a storm. The ship pulled out of its harbor. It was a bright and sunny day. The waters beneath reflected the dazzling brightness of the sun. Not a cloud could be found in the sky. The waters were calm as the ship embarked upon its journey. All things were bright and beautiful. The passengers on the ship, it was a routine voyage that they were undertaking. Shortly after pulling out from port, clouds began to gather and to bombard each other. The wind began to pick up. The waves began to become a little rougher. In a short period of time, all hell broke loose on the ship. The waves were dashing and tossing the ship to and fro. The experienced sailors recognized that we were in the midst of a storm. But they had experienced many storms. And so they felt confident that they could handle the situation. They grabbed a hold of the oars and began to row with all of their might and all of the power that they had. But to no avail. For the waves got higher, more boisterous, and began to vehemently beat upon the sides of the ships, and water began to flow over into the ship. Captain of the ship recognized that this was not just an ordinary storm. command was given, we got to lighten the load. So they began to throw off things out of the ship. Good, clean water. Food and all of the necessities that were cargo on the ship. They threw them overboard. Yet, to no avail. So they began to look around and to try to find out what else could they do. Then there appeared upon the deck of the ship one of the mates had found a stowaway on the ship. It was Jonah. Captain of the ship said to Jonah in the vernacular, "Man, what in the world are you doing on this ship? Down in the bottom of the ship. We know everybody on here, but who? What's your name? What's your occupation? What are you doing here?" He said, he had to confess. He said, "My name is John." He said, "I'm a Hebrew." Everyone was calling upon their God. And I serve the God of heaven who created the sea and the fountains of water. He said, "But I was asleep in the middle of a storm." As you read the story of Jonah in the book of Jonah, considered to be one of the minor prophets, not because it has minor material, but because of the size of the book, only four chapters. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, and said, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because this wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah ran away from God and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Someone has said that association brings on what? Assimilation. Jonah had assimilated himself to the people in his surroundings. That was a common thought, that the gods rule certain territories. But he had forgotten that the true and living God was omnipresent. There's no way to run away from God, but wherever you are, God is there. In other words, you can run, but you can't hide. So Jonah, it's one thing that happens when, as we look at the scenario of Jonah, that when he ran away from God, there was nowhere else for him to go but down. He went down to Joppa. He went down to the port. Paid the price, got on board of the ship, and then he went down into the bottom of the ship. Huh? When we turn away from the word of the Lord, there's no other place for us to go but down. And when we run away from the word of the Lord, we also cause problems for others. None of us live to ourselves alone. We're all impacted by the actions of others, either positively or negatively. He went down into the bottom of the ship and he was discovered there. The concern was, how can we stop this storm? And Jonah manned up and said, I am the cause. Throw me overboard, and the waters will be calm. You see, sometimes we running, and we know what the problem is. Oh, yeah. We know. We just don't want to admit it. Huh? It's always somebody else that caused the problem. But if we would only admit what we already know, that we are part of that problem. It might not be ours 100%. But we had some part to play in it. Jonah had a major part to play in it. So Jonah manned up and say, I'm the problem here. Just throw me overboard. From being down in the ship to down in the water. The record says that God had prepared a big fish, a great fish. Now, some like to say that was a whale. I guess that's the biggest thing we know. Those who deal with animals says that in spite of the size of the whale, his throat is not big enough to swallow a man whole. So the record said that God prepared a special fish to deal with Jonah. Huh? To swallow him whole. He found himself out of being down in the water, down into the fish's belly. The fish took him on an excursion, an ocean excursion, down to the bottom of the sea. Now, God is not to be trifled with. And the sooner we all recognize out, the better off we're going to be. Now, on the deck, the sailors were calling upon their God in the beginning. Then they started calling on Jonah's God. Huh? God will use us in order to accomplish his purpose. Even if we go in a different direction. Huh? Oh, yeah. So Jonah finds himself in adverse circumstance. Say that Jonah paid the price in order to get on the ship. There's a price that we must pay in order to go contrary to what God's will for us. Oh, yeah. And God, there is a divine plan for each of our lives, individually and collectively, as a church and as a race of people. Oh, yeah. So, Jonah finds himself in foreboding circumstances. But I want you to take a look at this book of Jonah as paralleling the black experience. As we look at our situation during Black History Month, we trumpet our slave pool parents. We trumpet the Underground Railroad and all of the adversities that they suffered and survived in spite of. But there are some things that we don't like to talk about. We talk about Martin Luther King and the great I Have a Dream speech. We trumpet the progress that we have made. Carter Woodson said that we ought to also present some of the good, the bad, and the ugly. The areas that we need to improve upon. And so I have taken the task of presenting the bad and the ugly. Things that we don't like to talk about. Don't want to talk about, but we need to be take cognizance of and work toward remedying the situation. But we, like Jonah, are asleep in the middle of a storm. We have our first African-American president in the White House, Barack Obama. And that was a marvelous accomplishment. But on the other side of that tremendous accomplishment, which I did not expect to see in my lifetime, I've been around a while, we look at some of the statistics regarding African Americans who make up 13.6% of the population, and yet 50% of the HIV cases that have been diagnosed of African Americans. And guess what is where the leading HIV is found? Say it again. Right here in Baton Rouge. Yes. More than in some third world country. Now, that presents a challenge for God's people. Because you and I have the solution. Got Bill Gates that's putting millions and billions of dollars out in order to try to work with the vaccines and that kind of thing. That's just one issue. When we went to Africa, I was having consultation with one of the sisters that revealed to me that her whole family had HIV/AIDS. Huh? That's mom. That Bill Gates and others who have put their monies together to try to come up with some vaccine to counter. But I want you to know, if we were to turn individuals around from running away from the word of the Lord and adhere to the teaching of the thus saith the Lord, AIDS will stop. Well, they would be in a monogamous situation and it wouldn't be illicit sex and all of the other things that go along with that, because God set the pattern back in Eden. One man and one woman. But because man deviated from the word of the Lord, you're faced with all of these things. Consider the wealth of the middle class. Our white counterpart has about $495,000 more than the average middle class black. Now we can dig beneath the surface and we can see what the government did that contributed toward it. We can see what all of the other things did toward it. But somewhere in my sight, we have contributed for it. But what do we do? Spend our monies on? Huh? That you have a group of people making the same amount of money, and yet they accumulate $95,000 in wealth above what the average black man, a black person that's making the same amount of money. Statistics indicate that we spend our money upon things that are either consumed or depreciated. We are more likely to go out there and pay an astronomical amount of money for something that's name brand. For our kids, that's going to outgrow it in 2 months. Huh? Not investing in nothing. Don't own nothing. Okay. Middle class whites own more stocks and bonds and real estate than the high-income blacks. And even the homes that they're living in don't reach the class that of our counterpart. God knows that we need food, clothing, shelter. We need automobiles to ride. We don't have to have Rolls Royces, right? Automobile is just something to get you from point A to point B without stopping. You get there in Rolls Royce, or you can get there in a Volkswagen. I'm not trying to put out on individual preferences and choices. But what I am pointing out is the disparity. You hear that over and over again. But we got to look beneath the surface to see why it's that way. See? We've been sold a bill of goods. And we're still thinking that the other man's ice is colder than the black man. We are in the midst of a storm when we discover that our black women, 7 who are pregnant, 72% of them are not married. We don't like to talk about that. What would happen if we were adhering to the principles that are taught in the word of the Lord? The storm is raging in our educational system. 40 to 50% of 10 high schools in low-income areas. It's so bad, the dropout rate, that the schools are referred to as dropout factories. Huh? These dropout factories produce in African Americans 73%. Latinos 66%, while white counterpart 34%. When we look at the higher education, the college graduates, what do we see? We see less than 50% of the blacks graduate from a four-year college in 6 years. Does that mean that we are not as intelligent as others? Justice Scalia found himself in hot water by suggesting that blacks go to colleges that they could do better in. That would operate at a slower pace. No. I suggest to you that we're in a storm, but we're sleeping. Because we are not taking corrective action. We are the first to buy the latest technological thing. We want to be the first on the block with it when it comes out. And it's relative to our income. Nothing wrong with riding around the Rolls Royce if you got enough money to afford it. Affordability is the key. Nothing wrong with having a private jet if you're Donald Trump. But it's a relative thing. If we have to neglect our families, seeing to it that they get all of the necessities of life in order to flaunt before friends, what I've achieved. We got mixed up value system. And the devil will exploit it. This tax season, we talk about the Republicans and how they against black folks. Tax season, black people gonna have more money than they have all the year. Oh, yeah. Earned income credits. You know where that started? Ronald Reagan. But he did it after meeting with consumer psychologists. It was a way of stimulating the economy. Because black folk were going to go out there and buy the latest big screen on the market. They're going to get the latest flashy automobile because they got this lump sum of cash money being put in their hands by the federal government. So he knew that. So this time of the year, we are targeted and bombarded with all kinds of advertisements that as to what we should buy with that money and what we should do with that money. Keep in mind, we're putting our funds into things that either are consumed or depreciate. That new car that you drive off the lot, it's going to depreciate about $1,500 as soon as you drive it off the lot. And it's so bad now that they offer you some insurance for the gap. You know what a gap is? That's so you can recoup the depreciation of that automobile. So first of all, the people can get paid. They're protecting themselves. And so we out there spending money when on things that either consume or depreciate. Now, if we would reverse that, when we get a lump sum of money and invest it in something that's going to appreciate in value. Do you know that renting a house will cost you more than buying a house? Oh, yeah. You build no equity in rental property. Because when you walk out just like you came in. Oh, yeah. But if you invest in buying a piece of property, it doesn't have to be a mansion. Something comparable with your income. Huh? You know who lost the most wealth with that real estate thing? Black people. They knew what they were doing. They are targeting the wealth. Our biggest investors, for the most part, are the homes that we live in. So when they foreclose on the homes that you're living in, they're wiping out the wealth out of the black community. Now, I'm not saying that we are to blame for it. Go back and restudy some things, you find out. FHA. Anybody had the FHA loan? Right. Oh, yeah. Federal Housing Administration. Federal government. When that started, black folk were not considered in that. Huh? You had a contract, which meant that they can, if you miss one note, they come take your house and got to take you to court. But the other folk get an FHA loan that's underwritten by the government. But we're supposed to be wise as serpents, yet harmless as a dove. Huh? So instead of trying to get the latest gadgets, computers, iPhones, all those things, that's nice to have. But it should be something relative. We ought to be using it for the right purpose, too. Not to get on that looking at some of the things that's on there. See what I'm saying? And the word of the Lord lets us know what things are permissible for us to engage in and what's not permissible for us to engage in. So when we deviate and go away from the word of the Lord, there's only one place for us to go, and that is down. Down. Now, when it comes to crime, lots in the news today by getting our folk out of prison. Barack Obama letting folk out of the federal prisons that were disenfranchised by the judge with mandatory sentences for drugs. Different between crack cocaine and the regular powder cocaine. Longer sentence. Mandatory minimum sentence. So the judges can give any kind of leniency. If we were following the word of the Lord, I heard testimony this morning that you gotta be taking some caffeine. Some kind of way. We wouldn't be buying Coca-Cola drinks with caffeine in them. Huh? We're going to follow the diet as prescribed by God. If we are going to follow the word of the Lord, we don't have to worry about that. Not going to be using drugs, marijuana, and all this kind of stuff. We go contrary to the word of the Lord. We 13% of the population, but over 60% of those in prison are African American. When it comes down to murders, 93% of the 43% of the murder victims are black and African American. We cry bloody murder, bloody murder. We look and see police officers gunning down unarmed black men. And yet, black on black crime. Sort of like Mission Impossible. The old show that they're playing the tapes, say, this tape shall self-destruct. If we don't watch out, we're going to self-destruct. Oh, yeah. We have a white flight whenever some of us move into the community. Other folk move out. The grass that was growing stopped growing. Huh? Take this community. The other folk were out here. I was on the other side of town, trying to get from out the bottom. Yeah. That is a difference. See, I happened to grow up in the era. We didn't have any grass to cut. Tell it like a TIS. There's no grass around my house. You dig up the backyard and you plant something to eat. Huh? One tiny bald tree in the front yard for shade. And you got a broom and you swept up all that stuff. Huh? Makes a difference. That's some things. A few weeks ago, we had a thing out here. Go pick up trash out of the community, neighborhood. That's something about us that we've lost. A whole generation that have no respect for family or anybody else. Huh? Somewhere there's a disconnect. One concern, me and me only. Now I have to say that. We've contributed to it because we didn't have, we want them to have. And we're giving them too much. Nothing wrong with giving it to them. But they ought to know how to get it. How it comes. Huh? And the way you get it is to work. The Bible teaches that if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah. I have to say it, I mean, it's not. We had a platoon system. We had so many kids down in the neighborhood. When they built a new school, they went on the platoon system. Some go in the morning and some go in the afternoon. What did I do? I got a job. 9 years old, lied and told the man I was 12 because I was a big fella. They don't want to work. We had chores to do. You come in, you pull off those clothes, and then you get out there and start doing something. Now they sit there and watch the idiot box and listen to things that you don't even know what they're listening to because they got something up in their ear. Huh? But you paying the bill. I submit to you that we're in the middle of a storm and we sleep. Somehow, we're going to have to do what's necessary in order to turn it around. 25% of African Americans live in poverty. Visit some of the third world countries. You find that there are those, you're progressive enough to know what to look at on the PBS channel. You will see some of these things. Individuals laying out on the sidewalk. Homeless, half clad. Nothing to eat. Don't have an address. They're homeless. In poverty. Unemployment rate, 16% in African America, in spite of the changes that's going on in the economy. We're contributing toward that. The Latinos, it takes 20 days for their dollar to leave their community. The white, the Orientals, it takes 30 days for their dollar to leave the community. Do you know how long it takes for our dollar to leave the community? Huh? How many days? One day? Huh? Half a day. Same day. 6 hours. That's according to 2007 statistics. Right now, it's 15 minutes. Huh? That's part of the mentality that we have that somebody else's ice is closer than, is colder than our ice. As soon as we cast the check, huh? We got to take it down. To pay for what we've gotten. You know what I'm saying? So something is going to have to change. We're going to have to wake up and then do something about it. Those things that are within our power to do something about. We got an election coming up. And many of us are being pushed off the road because we haven't voted. Our folk have bled and died so that we could have the right to vote, but our focus, we are focusing our attention on what the Supreme Court is doing. They're reversing those things that happened during the civil rights movement. Picture ID and doing away with absentee voting. That's not the real issue. The real issue is that we don't recognize the value and the power of a vote. I was happy to see the challenges that have been made to the Democratic Party. But we are in a catch-22 because we got to choose the lesser of the two evils. Huh? Whoever get in there is not going to be pro-black. Trust me. But that doesn't mean that we sit by and say they're going to do what they're going to do. Oh, no. We got to choose the lesser of the two evils and then go hold them accountable by attending the meeting. We don't even watch what's going on down at the city council. We don't watch what's happening in his own television. What's happening at the school board? What's happening at the zoning commission. You know, that information is there for us, so we don't know what we're supposed to do or what we should be doing, because that's not our interest. But if they got, I don't call it that, but anyway, we got some entertainer down there at the Central Flex. We know about that. And we're going to be down there. Yeah. It doesn't make any difference what the tickets cost. Oh, yeah. We got money. $1.1 trillion come through our hands. And how much of that goes back into our community? The businesses that are in our community. You care to guess? $1.2 trillion. What are we doing? 2 cents out of $1.2 trillion comes back through our business. I suggest to you that we are asleep in the middle of a storm. Then when it comes to health, Barack Obama pushed through what they call Obamacare. What made them so mad about Obamacare? When presidents from Harry S. Truman were trying to get it so that the American people, all of the American people, would have health insurance. And he pushed it through. Now you listen to what the folk are saying on television. Barack Obama has done nothing. That everything he has done got to be reversed. But who is benefiting? We are. You go stay all day. We had a governor here that completely devastating, closing down hospitals, closing down emergency rooms, and all of this kind of thing. Here we are suffering with all of the chronic illnesses, high blood pressure, and cardiovascular diseases, strokes and heart attacks. If we would follow the word of the Lord and recognize that these unclean foods, where the Lord tells you, read the book of Leviticus, what's clean and what's unclean, and what do we eat the most? I'm talking about we as black people. I'm not talking about Adventists. You don't eat that kind of stuff. Huh? We don't eat that. We following what the word of the Lord says. We're not eating any popes and chitlins and all that kind of stuff. Huh? I don't know. We're supposed to be living 7 years longer. Because we following the vegetarian diet, God's original diet, fruits, grains, and nuts. Huh? Following the word of the Lord. But when we run away from the word of the Lord, now we can go back and look at slavery and see what took place. That it will. Slave master, which is a hog, you're going to get the lean cuts and all that kind of thing. And then throw our scrap out there. In order to survive, our slave parents went into the woods and picked up the herbs and stuff, seasoned it up good and made pot liquor and ate it. And we carry it on today, even with the knowledge that we have about saturated fats clogging our arteries. So we are dying at a quicker rate than all of the other races together. So I submit to you that we're in the midst of a storm and we're asleep. But Jonah saw the problem. For the sailors on the ship, throw me overboard. The water level out to a ripple. But old Jonah was in the belly of that fish. And there's something about foreboding circumstance. The consequences of our actions. When we get in the big dilemma, then we think. Read what Jonah says. From inside of the fish, and we're at chapter 2 now. From inside the fish, Jonah did what? He prayed to the Lord his God. Now, he didn't come up with no flowers, phrases, because he's in the belly of that fish. But he's praying to the Lord, and he answered me from the depths of Sheol, the grave. I called for help. Huh? This is the solution to the problem that we're facing. Okay? And you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirl around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head to the roots of the mountains. I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you. Huh? Would it have been better? Jonah, in the beginning, to do what God said. But he was hard-headed. My grandmother used to tell me, you better hear me, boy. You being hard-headed. He was hard-headed. He wasn't listening to what God said. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it my way. And young people, let you know that too. Those who cling to the worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be there. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will give sacrifice for you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Then, because of the sincerity of his prayer, he said, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it had vomited Jonah up on dry land. The solution is to go back where we came from. Cry unto the Lord and resolve that you're going to do what God said do. That's as an individual, as a people, and as a church. God made that fish sick of Jonah. Made Jonah sick of that fish. Huh? Old fish started to surface from the bottom. Made his way toward the shore. Vomited up Jonah. He told Jonah, Lord came to Jonah a second time. Said, go to the go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I gave you. Huh? While we're in the depths of our troubles, we ask for just one more time. You ever did that? That's a rhetorical question. You have done. I've done it. One more time, Lord. If you just get whatever it is I'm dealing with out of the way, just one more time. Just one more time. I will promise you. I have to admit, if I'm going to be completely honest, I found myself back asking for another time, not one more time. Not one more. I need another time because I messed up with that one more time. Huh? Got to be honest about it. God, you can't fool God. I can fool you. Some of the time. Not going to fool God no time. Say, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. He said Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. Get to Nineveh. But Jonah, when the Lord turned him loose, got there in 1 day. Huh? Quickened his step and his pace picked up. Going back to do what God said do. You and I must quicken our steps. I don't know how far you come. Wherever you are now, you need to race back to the word of the Lord and with renewed vigor and determination to do what God is commanding you to do individually. And that's what you and I are going to have to do collectively as a race of people. Follow what God has outlined for us to do. Some of the most religious people, all the statistics say, are black people. Huh? But we bought into the wrong gospel as a people. Following prosperity doctrine. Thinking the things that I accumulate. No, it's a worship of the true and living God who made all of these things. I'm going to tell you that God's going to see to it that you have everything that you need. So today, my appeal to you is to go back where you deviated from the word. Get in harmony with his will. Do what he has commanded you to do. I have a feeling that in the words of the song, I have a feeling everything's going to be all right. May God bless you and keep you. As we consummate this Black History Month, take a look at not just the great achievements, but the areas that you and I can improve upon in following what God would have us. I just have to find out. She gave me a signal. Landry's got something to say. Did I read you right, ma'am? All right. Oh, Papa Landry.